Ready, ladies and gentlemen, from the port.
Here we go.
The Pepsodent and Show, starring Bob Hope.
As Indiana swings and Francis Langford sings, Kelowna joins Bob Hope and staff with six hits and a miss.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Easter Parade Hope, telling all you promenaders that no matter what set you're with, if you use Pepsodent, you'll never be without a set. Or, this is Bob Easter Sunday Hope telling you people who rolled eggs across the lawn to use Pepsodent, you'll never have to roll them across a bridge. I've been busy all week coloring Easter eggs, and here I am with them. I colored one egg yellow, green, orange, red, and purple, and when I got through, the chick poked his head out and said, "That's swell. Now how about some blue to go with my eyes?" Just as a gag, I put a bunch of those gaily colored Easter eggs under one of the hens I keep. The hen got up, took a long look at the colored eggs, scratched her head, and said, "Well, that's what I get for smelling those empty bottles in W.C. Fields' backyard." Skinny Ennis got a lot of eggs, and one of them hatched. The chick stepped out of the shell, looked at Skinny for a minute, and then said, "I'm finished, but brother, you better go back in for a few days." When I was a kid at Easter time, I used to eat so many eggs, when I'd walk down the street, chickens used to chase me. But things are slightly reversed now. You get it, Wolf? I wanted to buy a pair of Easter bunnies for my nephew. The pet shop storekeeper said, "Sorry, bud, I can't let you have them. I only have one pair of rabbits. You know, shortages." 5 minutes later, he called me back and said, "Hey, buddy, care to help me get rid of the surplus?" And I wanted to tell my little nephew all about Easter, so we went out in the garden. I pointed to a little animal and said, "That's the Easter bunny." And it hopped right over to us and said, "Don't be silly. I'm just a gopher that stayed up all night and got my eyes all bloodshot." Every year I send my girl something for Easter. You know, she lives in a tough neighborhood. In fact, the neighborhood's so tough, last year I sent her a box of Martha Washington chocolates and George went along as a convoy. Of course, I was out marching today in the Easter Parade. The Easter Parade, that's the walk that you take in between the time you buy your Easter outfit and the time from the finance man comes up. "I'll be back. Just a second." It's a long thing. I've got to work it out. Of course, I was out marching today in the Easter Parade. The Easter Parade, that's the walk that you take in between the time you buy your Easter outfit and the time... That doesn't seem right. Well, just a minute. Let's talk to each other. I was out marching today in the Easter Parade. Easter Parade, that's the walk that you take in between the time you buy your Easter outfit and the time the man from the finance company comes to reclaim it. That's what I say. Edward Arnold was out front leading the Easter Parade. Then came a bunch of celebrities. Then came the band. And then came Edward Arnold bringing up the rear. No takers, huh? And the women here really get dressed up for the Easter Parade. They take off those old slacks that they walk around in all year and iron them and put them back on again. Some women wear slacks to show men who's boss, and other women wear them to show men. And the people are the judges, and the people are the judges of the Easter Parade. If they like your outfit, they cheer, and if they don't like it, they hiss. When I walked by, it sounded like a duet between the factory whistles of Douglas and Lockheed. Look, folks, you have to pay attention. Hedy Lamarr walked on the left of me, and every 10 minutes I'd shift so that she was on my right. I'm no fool. I like to get tanned evenly on both sides. Skinny Ennis walked in the parade, and someone told him to carry an Easter lily. As he walked down the street, a native son spotted them and said, "Gee, ain't California wonderful? We even got them trained to walk at their own funeral." Everybody wore striped morning trousers. Skinny Ennis didn't have a pair of striped pants, so he just let the colors run in his shorts and wore them low. W.C. Fields was in the Easter parade, and he was really all dressed up. It was the first time I ever saw anyone holding three lilies, carrying four roses, and being supported by five cops. Guy Kibbe tipped his hat, and a bluebird flew over his head for 5 minutes before he realized it wasn't the White Cliffs of Dover. It was fun walking with my girl in the Easter parade. You know, I can't take her out anymore more than twice a week because of the shortage of razor blades. She's got such a heavy beard. My girl looked really nice in the parade. She was wearing open-toed shoes, even though she didn't want to. She put on a pair of shoes that are two sizes too small for her, and in the middle of the parade, her toes suddenly went A-W-O-L. I bought my girl a fur piece to wear in the Easter parade. I don't know what kind of fur it is, but if the wind had shifted, there wouldn't have been a parade. And you know, all the girls are wearing clothes cut in military style, so they look like soldiers. I whistled at one and said, "Hiya, honey," and it was a sergeant from Camp Roberts, they told me, as they lifted me into the ambulance. And Bing Crosby bought some new clothes for the parade. I wouldn't say they were loud, but it's the first time I've ever seen a sport suit with chromium bumpers. Jerry Colonna was wearing a conservative Mexican outfit and a zoot suit on a peon with a neon. Those zoot suits are certainly funny. The jackets reach way down to the ankles, and the pants, come to think of it, I never saw any. Everybody bought Easter clothes. I went down to see if I could pick up anything, and I bought some clothes, too. I bought myself a fancy suit for Easter. I got narrow cuts, a sharp drape, pointed lapels, and when I crossed Hollywood Boulevard, I got a belt in the back. Andy Devine went down to get fitted for a suit. When it came time to measure his hips, the tailor sent out for an extra long ruler and a permit to leave the country. I bought a suit made out of herringbone cloth. The herringbone was so genuine, the first day I put it on, a guy followed me 3 blocks with a fishing pole. Made out of herringbone cloth. The herringbone was so genuine. My delivery was perfect. It must be the joke I did. And those pants were very tight on me. It was a California suit, but it was very funny. Every time I bent over, there was trouble deep in the heart of Texas. All suits are going to be practically the same all over the country. In fact, from now on, the only way you can tell anyone is from Hollywood is by the skid marks across his chest. I have a swell new suit, and the jacket is wonderful. Even if it has only one sleeve. It was supposed to have two sleeves, but just as the tailor was starting the second one, he got a better offer from Lockheed. And all the men now are wearing victory suits. No collars, no lapels, all the men are wearing them, yes, sir. All the men are now wearing victory suits. No collars, no lapels, no cuffs. I don't know why they call them victory suits. Crosby's been wearing them for years, and the stork is still four up on them. And you know those victory suits, no cuffs? Well, I started across Hollywood Boulevard just as a woman driver approached. Now I got victory legs, no ankles. The women really got dressed up for the Easter parade. I saw one woman walking along with what I thought was a big turban wound around her head. Then I found out she bought a suit with two pairs of slacks and was trying to wear them both. And you can say what you want about women's hats this year, but not in front of them. One woman couldn't afford a new hat with a lot of birds on it, so she spread glue on her last year's hat and put a sign on a landing field for robins. One woman really had the crowd following her. She didn't have on a fancy hat either, just an inner tube with a veil. And you can never tell what women's hats would be made of. I emptied out the garbage this morning, and 2 hours later, I saw it going down the boulevard on a woman's head. God bless you. One woman was walking down the boulevard and met another woman who was wearing the same identical hat she was wearing. The winner meets Joe Louis in September. Everyone in Hollywood went shopping for new outfits. Hedy Lamarr bought a coat, Dorothy Lamour bought a sarong, and Gypsy Rose Lee bought cough drops. I noticed one woman there with a bustle, and I said, "I see the bustle is coming back again." She said, "Bustle nothing, I'm taking real good care of my spare tire." Scott something?
Yes, sir.
A Pepsodent 50-tuff toothbrush gives you twice as many tufts in a
get
small
out,
compact
get
head.
We have Francis Langford. And the sister of this thing, and I don't want to walk without you, baby.
The day you left me behind, I take a stroll and get you right off my mind. But now I find that I don't want to walk without a sunshine. Why do you have to turn off? Or you'll break my heart for me. Cause I don't want to walk without you. No. Back, or you'll break my heart for me. Cause I don't want to walk without you. No.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the beautiful star of Captain of the Clouds, that lovely glamour girl from Warner Brothers, Miss Brenda Marshall. Well, I'm certainly glad you're here tonight, Brenda. After all, I think it's only right that the glamour girl from Warner should meet the glamour boy from Paramount.
Oh, is Ray Milan here, too?
Hmm?
Is Ray Milan here, too?
Yeah.
But I think you're very handsome yourself, Bob.
Thank you.
That lovely wavy hair.
Yes. Yes.
Those wonderful dark eyes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just let me look deep in your eyes.
Does anybody out there need a smudge pot? Come and get me.
Why, Bob, I don't have any effect on you, do I?
Well, the script wasn't scorched when I started. Wonder if the Red Cross would give me my blood back.
Stop looking at me like that.
Oh, my eyes always get narrow when I look at a beautiful girl, Brenda. Six times this week I had to fight my way out of Owens Valley. I'm really thrilled having a beautiful girl like you as guest star on the show. Take, you're beautiful, Brenda. May I kiss your hand?
What for?
Well, I got to do something. I'm getting tired of standing here chewing my own nails. But I want to welcome you to the Pepsodent Show, Brenda. You've been on lots of big radio shows before, haven't you?
Yes, but it only makes it worse to reminisce.
Brenda, do you know how many people listen to this show every week?
Hmm.
You think jokes would help?
Oh, I always laugh at you anyway. Especially the other day when I saw you in the Easter parade.
Why, Brenda, I was dressed in the height of fashion. Didn't you notice I was wearing cuffs?
Yes, but don't you think you should have worn the suit, too?
No wonder I felt silly around Cahuenga Pass. This is my new Easter outfit, Brenda. How do you like it? It's this here.
Is that one of those new victory suits?
Yeah, I paid $100 for it.
I think your tailor won.
No, he didn't. I paid him by check. Did you like the way that... Did you like the way that suit fitted me that I wore in the Easter parade? You know, that was a zoot suit.
Really? It looked like a slack sack.
You didn't think it was too big for me, did you?
Oh, of course that suit wasn't too big for you. I think it was awfully nice of Edward Arnold to lend it to you.
Are you trying to say that the suit was too loose on me?
Oh, I wouldn't say it was too loose on you, but once during the parade you turned down Hollywood Boulevard and your suit kept walking up Vine Street.
Why, Brenda, I thought I was dressed pretty formal.
Well, I thought you were dressed a little too formal.
Well, what do you mean?
Who ever heard of putting pearl studs in a sweatshirt?
Yeah, I guess it clashed with my blue sneakers. And I made a mistake. And I made a mistake wearing my slacks in the Easter parade.
What was wrong in wearing your slacks?
Well, you ought to know. I walked down Hollywood Boulevard with you, and more fellas whistled at me than at you. What does that mean?
Well, I thought it was cute the way one kid came up to his Bob and said, "May I have your autograph, Miss Marshall? And your mother's, too?"
Yeah, I shouldn't have worn my hair in a snood.
Oh, the outfit you wore wasn't bad, Bob. But your shoes looked terrible. They had a big hole in them.
Oh, I can explain that. My big toe is afraid of the dark.
Your big toe is afraid of the dark?
Yeah, every time I put him in a new pair of shoes, he punches his way through and yells, "Hey, no blackout till you hear the railway siren." I liked your open shows, your open show twos too, Brandon. Open-toed shoes, I mean.
Those weren't open-toed shoes.
They weren't?
No, the night before I went out dancing with Andy Devine. Easter was lots of fun, though, wasn't it? I saw Skinny Innes walking in the parade, too.
Oh, Skinny didn't walk long. Just as he was leaving his house, his mother slipped 35 cents in his pocket and had pinned him to the ground. I thought I made a big hit when the parade started. You see me going along with Madeline Carroll on one side of me and Dorothy L'Amour on my other side?
Yeah, and Hedy Lamarr on your back. I've never seen such beautiful tattooing.
Yes, I do all my own needlework. Say, did you see how corny everybody acted when the newspaper photographers wanted to take pictures? They all tried to get in front of the crowd.
Yes, Bob, but I'll have to hand it to you. You poked your head out of that open manhole at just the right moment. Easter certainly brings out a friendly spirit, doesn't it? Did you see that soldier, sailor, and marine walking down the street with their arms around each other?
Yeah, they just came from a crap game, and they only had one belt between them.
Well, you know, Bob, I'm certainly glad you live right next door to me in North Hollywood. It was so convenient for you to drive me home after the parade.
Oh, that was nothing, Brenda. Nothing at all.
Don't be silly, Bob. It was very lucky for me. Why, a taxi would have charged me twice as much. Oh, but I'm really honored being your neighbor. You know all the big stars so intimately.
Well, when did you find that out?
As soon as I saw their laundry hanging in your backyard.
Yeah, rough, dry hope, they call me.
Still, it's nice having you right next door, even if you do occasionally drop in to borrow some eggs.
Would you mind repeating that?
Why?
I'd like the audience to know that occasionally even I run short of eggs.
Well, it's too bad that tonight isn't one of those occasions. You know, I like one thing about your place, Bob. What a cute idea, having a moat around it.
Oh, that isn't a moat. When I read Esquire, I drool a lot.
Say, Bob, if you'll pardon my neighborly curiosity, tell me, just how many people live in that home of yours?
Oh, not many. Just 3 uncles, 4 aunts, 6 nieces, 8 brothers, 7 cousins... and a vacuum cleaner salesman from Azusa who gave us a free demonstration last November, and he's still trying to get my nephew Irving out of that vacuum cleaner bag.
Well, it's a beautiful home.
Oh, my.
Say, do you have much of a servant trouble?
No, they're democratic enough to associate with us. Do you like living right next door to us, Brenda?
Well, I can't really enjoy it because you're such a show-off.
A show-off? What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. Just stop making announcements over the public address system every time you put a lump of sugar in your coffee.
Well, I have to talk about something between my Pepsi and commercials.
So you know, my dog wishes we'd move away from your neighborhood.
Oh, your dog wants to move? Why?
Must you dig up his bones?
Well, the Musicians Union forced me to do it. They gave me 3 days to find out where he buried Skinny Ennis. I take a lot of pride in my place, though, Brenda. I spend a lot of time with my gardening.
Yes, I know. Every morning I see you cutting down the alfalfa in your living room.
Yeah, somebody planted it there, New Year's Eve. Say, are you pretty busy these days? Pretty busy these days, Brenda?
Oh, I'm working pretty hard, Bob. I just made a picture called Captains of the Clouds.
Captain of the Clouds? What's it about? A guy who tried to cross with the lights in Wilshire Boulevard?
No, it's about aviators. I enjoyed making the picture. I think aviators are so romantic.
Yes, they are.
Bob, why doesn't Paramount teach you how to fly?
Oh, they don't have to teach me how to fly. All they do is tell me I'm making a picture with Madeline Carroll and then step out of my way.
Well, I'm glad you saw Captains of the Clouds, Bob. How'd you like my performance?
Well, first you tell me how you like me and my favorite line.
I don't like the odds.
But I really did see you in Captain of the Clouds.
Well, I really did see you in My Favorite Blonde.
Gee, you had a swell supporting cast.
Gee, you had a swell supporting cast.
But I think you gave the greatest performance in the picture.
Gee, you had a swell supporting cast.
But I enjoyed making that picture with Madeline Carroll. How'd you like that big love scene where I take Madeline in my arms and kiss her and kiss her?
You were swell in that love scene, Bob. Madeline was wonderful in it, too. Especially the dainty way she covered her mouth every time she yawned.
Yeah, I'm better than Ovaltine. You know, I may be your leading man in one of your pictures, Brendan. How would you like that?
Oh, I don't know whether I'd like having you for my leading man. I'm used to appearing with stars like Jimmy Cagney. You know, there's a man that's full of fight, full of punch.
Well, what about me?
Well, you're punchy, too, but in a different way. Yeah.
Who started the applause? Who did that?
You know, Jimmy Cagney's the caveman type.
Yeah, well, look at me.
Well, you're more of the cave-in type. So you know Jimmy Cagney, don't you, Bob?
Oh, sure, I know Cagney. He's the one that's just coming over the wall when Raff lands on the ground.
Well, it's really an experience making a picture with Mr. Cagney. Oh, he's certainly rough with his women. He really slapped me around.
Yeah, well, I always wanted to be like Cagney, so the other day I made up my mind I was going to slap the next girl I met. Am I sorry?
Why?
Just my luck. The next girl I met was Sweetie Face. Sweetie Face. Who is Sweetie Face? Do you know Sweetie Face? Sure, that's what I say. Fred McGee. I do it all the time. I just want to see if you knew.
Say, Bob.
Yeah?
Cagney's wonderful with that rough stuff technique. You know, now I'm working in a picture called The Constant Nymph with a man who uses that suave technique, Charles Boyer.
Oh, yes, Charles Boyer, one of my students. I taught him.
You taught Boyer how to make love?
No, I taught him how to erase serial numbers from stolen tires. How did I know they were his tires I'd stolen?
See, I'm so happy making this picture with Charles Boyer and Joan Fontaine. Oh, Joan Fontaine.
Stop reading my lines. Is Charles Boyer really romantic?
Bob, I'm under his spell the moment he flutters his long eyelashes at me.
What do you want, love or air conditioning?
No, but he's wonderful. When that man looks at you, he seems to be able to pierce right through you. They glitter and gleam. And yet sometimes they seem to be as hard as steel.
Say, who are you talking about, Charles Boyer or BB Eyes? Look, you... I know who BB Eyes is. Every day! What happened to the mole? That's what killed me. I think the mole joined a Fanchon and Marco unit or something. Look, you seem to think Boyer is a real ladies' man. Tell me, what has Boyer got that I haven't got? Go ahead, tell me.
I'd love to, Bob. I can't stand here talking all week.
Well, tell me one thing Boyer's got that I haven't got.
I don't know. But when he kisses me, it's like the adventures of Casanova.
And when I kiss you?
Courtship of Andy Hardy. You see, Bob, Boyer's a man of the world.
Well, I've traveled a lot, too.
Yes, Bob, but when you travel through all the foreign countries of the globe, It does something to you. Nothing happens when you push a good humor truck around Azusa.
Want to see my numbers?
Charles Boyer is wonderful. I don't know where he gets all his polish and gloss.
Get his name and address. He might make a good customer.
Who's that?
Fibber McGee.
You know, it's...
I don't know how you feel, Skinny. It was hardly worth the walk, but... I don't know... I was over that way anyway. I don't know why we don't put a small mic right there for you, right there. Then you don't have to get up, you know. If it flops, you can just lay around back. Or drop a net or something.
See, you know, Bob, it's been fun working with Charles Boyer and Jimmy Cagney. They're such opposite types.
Well, I have an idea, Brenda. Why don't we show the audience how the James Cagney type and the Charles Boyer type differ in their lovemaking? We'll show the audience how each one acts when calling in his girl. You be the girl, and I'll be the fella.
All right. Hey, gosh, Bob, that's what I like about your program. It's so logical.
Well, okay. First, the Charles Boyer type. What a love. No, wait a minute. Charles Boyer. How does that talk? What a lovely day. What is that? That's not Boyer. I had it good before. You heard me rehearse.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Thank you. What a lovely day to be out. Well, there's a pretty girl. She's very pretty. Isn't that awful? I lost the character. Oh, what a lovely... No, that's not right. Oh, what a day. That is a pretty girl. She is very pretty. That's it. Ah, she is very pretty. Hiya, babe. I should not do that, but I love to see them faint when they see who it is that whistles them. I feel very happy this morning walking along in these beautiful spats. Ouch. I wish I could afford shoes, too. I think I'll turn around a minute, just as I thought. I hate to have girls following me. But this is a gorgeous night to be calling on the beautiful Brenda. I'm all ready for the big evening. I put the perfume behind my ears. The sweet-smelling perfume behind my ears. And now I must walk past the pool room. Oh, I still smell the perfume, but where's my ears? Here I am. It is my loved one's house. It is not my loved one's house. I have eaten. I think she lives right in back of that high picket fence over there, but that's funny. I don't remember any picket fence around her house. Oh, I forget. I just had my eyelashes curled. I wait. Here is her house. I will ring the bell. What a patriotic country. Everywhere you go is the national anthem. Ah, ma chérie, voulez-vous un bossuet salaté? Well, Hayes is still trying to figure that out. This makes two of us.
Come in, John.
Wait, I will pull off my gloves. They are very tight. I must pull hard. I always lose one finger this way.
Yes, but that was the last one. Where are we going tonight, John? right, Charles. How about dancing at the Palladium?
Oh, you forget you are with Charles. I have arranged something gay, something exciting, something different for tonight.
What are we going to do?
When the moon is high in the sky, we will go down to the parking lot and feel retread.
Oh, you French are so romantic.
Yeah. You got a buck till Friday?
Tell me, Charles, when I go out with you, why is it I always have to pay wherever we go?
Oh, I am the free French. Come, chérie, let us sit on the davenport.
You don't know your English. That's Davenport.
You don't know the French. That's Davenport. Oui, oui. Oh, say. Oh, my delightful one. Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes.
Yes, dear, I'm looking.
Pretty, aren't they?
Yes, much prettier than if both were the same color.
What is it, Cherie?
Kiss me.
All right, but I don't see why you should have all the fun.
Why do you love me?
Why? You may as well ask an elephant where he goes when he dies.
But I don't love an elephant. I love you. You know, Charles, you haven't kissed me yet tonight.
Oh, yes. Let me take you into my arms. Let me gaze deeply into your eyes. Ah, your eyes. They are like... How you say it in English? Oh, yes. Your eyes are like two limpid pools of 7-Up. And now, my sweet, come to my arms. I hold you. So? I squeeze you so. I kiss you so. How was it?
So-so. Charles, let's get married.
Oh, no, I couldn't. Look at all the girls I disappoint.
Let's keep your children out of this.
Look, Cherie, I have brought you something.
Charles, is that for me?
Yes, it's been in my family a long time. My mother used to wear it, and now I want you to wear it.
Oh, darling. A Wilkie button.
Go ahead, take it. I can always hold up my pants with my hands.
Oh, Charles, you're so clever. Do you really care for me?
Yes, I will kiss your hand. You have the nice long fingernails.
Well, why do you always kiss my hand?
Says razor blade. That's a fade. And now the tough Jimmy Cagney type calling in his girl. Gee, what a wonderful day to be going home. Gee, what a wonderful day to be going calling my Goyle. Gee, look, there's George Raft over there. I wish him a good morning. Gee, he's happy, too. Oh, there's Officer Clancy. He's looking this way. Maybe he wants to throw me in jail. Maybe he's just looking at me. Maybe he wants to throw me in jail. Why stand here all night hesitating? See, it's great to be calling on Brenda. What a dame she is. Just my type. Every time I sock her in the jaw, she puts a walnut between her teeth so it'll be crack for me. Well, here's Brenda's house. Guess I'll knock on the door.
Quiet, Jim. Don't you know my old man's going to bed?
Sure, I know your old man is going to bed. I saw the cops bringing him in, didn't I? Well, hiya, Scoit.
Hiya, pants. Say, why were you banging on the door like that?
I think you're cheating on me. You got any men in that clothes closet?
Oh, no.
Well, it's kind of dark in this closet, just to make sure, I'll take a couple of shots.
Oh, see? Mom.
Yeah, the third one to the left has got a mustache. Come on, give me a kiss, Scoit.
Jimmy, that ain't no way to talk. You should say, may I have a kiss, darling?
Okay, may I have a kiss, darling, and give me a kiss, Scoit, or I'll bet you bowling it.
Where'd you get that black eye?
I ran into a doorknob.
You sure you ran into a doorknob?
Yeah, the other guy had it in his fist.
Well, come into the living room, Jimmy. Let me take your hat, coat, and dagger. Gosh, Jimmy, your cauliflower ear don't look so good tonight. What's the matter with it?
Oh, they sent a Jap that was taking care of it over to Owen Valley. Look what I brung you, Brenda, some perfume.
Gee, Thanks.
Well, go on. That's perfume. You're supposed to put it behind your ears.
Yeah, where does it go? Over or under the bubble gum?
Oh, I forgot you put bubble gum there. Let it hang down for earrings.
Say, ain't it terrible what happened to my pa, Jimmy? He forgot that we live down here on top of the docks now.
Well, what happened to him, Brenda?
I went crazy trying to get the water out of the cellar.
Yeah, what a drip.
Well, Jimmy, where are we going tonight? Zero's, a little truck, Mocambo?
Listen, baby, when you're going out with a guy like me, you're lucky I just don't beat you over the head for amusement. I don't spend on Dame C. Well, stay right here, understand? If I hear another peep out about spending money, I'll kick in your teeth till you look like Mahatma Gandhi.
All right, dear, all right.
Boy, wouldn't it be swell if this worked in real life?
But, Jimmy, I did want to go and hear Skinny Innocent Van. He's playing at the Coconut Grave.
Look at your script, that's Grove.
Look at Innes, that's Grave.
You can't talk about my friend like that. I like to push this grapefruit in your face.
Yeah? You wouldn't dare push that grapefruit in my face.
I wouldn't?
Well, pass the sugar. Gee, you're pretty tough, ain't you, Jimmy?
Sure, I'm plenty tough. You see that phone book there? Watch, I'll rip it right in half. Lucky we live in Glendale.
Gee, you're wonderful, Jimmy.
Listen, screwball, we're going to elope tonight.
Elope? What does that mean?
Just put on your Las Vegas slacks and don't ask questions.
I'd marry you, but you ain't no gentleman.
What do you mean?
Well, when you came into the house yesterday, first you hit my father and then you hit my mother. That ain't right.
Why not?
Well, my mother's older. You should have hit her first.
Yeah, but she's bigger, too.
Say, what you got there, Jimmy?
It's an electric razor. They say there's going to be a shortage of blades, so I got this thing. You want to see how it works?
Sure, let me see how it works.
Okay. There, you see how it works? And it won't be long before your hair grows back, either.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Brenda. And Brenda will be back with us in a few minutes, folks. And now Skinny Anderson, the Six Fits and the Miss Singing.
Here's a picture of perfect health. He's as normal as he can be. Here he comes to sing us a song.
If I had a dictionary, I would use the customary compliments and phrases when I want to sing your praises. But I'm up to here in trouble. My adversity is doubtful, and to make them out of words, I'm breathless. When I try to be poetic, you are never sympathetic. As it is, I do my best at hoping for your past the test. But up to now, I'm in the soup. My heart is doing the loop-a-loop on top of all of that. I'm breathless. You take my breath away. My castles are all in a heap. You've got me right where I want to. Baby, you walk in my sleep. I take you for a little walk, and I'm the guy that likes to talk. You leave me on the porch, and then I wind up with the torch for every single time that I'm inclined to tell you what is on my mind. I'm darned if I don't find I'm breathless. I'm up to here in trouble. My adversity is double, and to make the matter worse,
he's breathless. When you try to be poetic, you are never sympathetic. As it is, you do your best and hope and pray you pass the test.
But up to now, I'm in the soup. My heart is doing the loop to loop. On top of all of that, I'm breathless.
Take his breath away. His castles are in a heap.
I've got you right where I want you. Baby, I walk in your sleep.
I take you for a little walk, and I'm the guy that likes to talk.
He's out of breath.
For every single time that I'm inclined to tell you what is on my mind, I'm darned if I don't find I'm breathless.
Poor Skinny exhausted.
Exhausted? Brother, I'm just winded.
Oh, yes, we're all plumb out of breath.
and the six hits and a miss singing breathless.
Gargle frequently with Pepto and antiseptic.
That's fine. Thank you very much. So now we have... Let's go. Let's get into this.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you already know, for a long time, Bob Hope and Brenda Marshall have been neighbors. Yes, for years now, they've lived right next door to each other in North Hollywood, with nothing separating Brenda's house from Bob's but a row of liquid flamethrowers. This soon makes Bob the first guy in town to get a hot foot all over. But time marches on, and as tonight's sketch opens, Bob Hope's true value as a citizen of North Hollywood has finally been recognized. Several of his neighbors decide to reward him for his activities in the community, and as we look in on them now, they are escorting Bob to an official building near the city hall and closing the cell door.
Hey, they can't do this to me. They can't do this to me. They can't do this to me.
Hey, Bob, I've been sitting there listening to you.
Well, what about it?
Don't you think you're a little on the logical side? Gee, I'm sorry for you, Bob, sitting in this jailhouse cell.
I wonder what Humphrey Bogart would do in a case like this.
He'd take them iron bars and tear them right out of the window.
Okay, watch me, Skin. I wonder what Deanna Durbin would do in a case like this.
Hey, don't worry, Bob. I'm a lawyer, and I came down to jail to get you off. Just leave everything to me.
Oh, it's all right for you to talk, Skin. You're free. But what would you do if you were behind these iron bars?
Just a minute. Okay, now I'm behind them.
Well, Skin, that's wonderful. You can walk right between the bars.
Yeah, and with my arms spread out, too. Now, don't worry, Bob. I'm your lawyer, and I'll defend you with every drop of blood in my body.
Well, I guess I'll plead guilty. Listen, Skin, I'm going to break out of this prison. I'm going to file right through these iron bars. No, you're Skin. My nose is getting tired.
Yeah, I guess your nose tires easy since you stopped taking setting up exercises.
You know, it was nice of you to come down here to jail to see me, Skin.
Well, I thought you might be hungry, Bob, so look what I brought you. Here.
Gee, a chocolate cake.
Yeah, I hope you like it. I got the recipe from George Raft. Say, how'd they treat you here, Bob?
No good. Yesterday, put me in solitary.
Well, it's your own fault. When all the prisoners line up and put their hands on each other's shoulders, you're not supposed to start on the conga line.
Well, I was making a break for Mexico, and I wanted to get in the mood.
Gee, Bob, must be tough for you, spending so much time alone in this cell.
Oh, I'm not so lonely, Skin. I've made friends with a mouse. Here, Mousy. Come here, Mousy. I want you to meet Skinny Ennis.
Hey, Bob, make that mouse stop looking at me like that. It looks like it wants to eat me. Hey, what'd he say?
Not enough white meat. But, Skin, that's my line. Oh. But, Skin, you're not afraid of a little mouse, are you?
Oh, of course not. Just watch me. I'm going to pick that little mouse up by the tail. There. Doggone. Who taught him jiu-jitsu?
See, I can't understand why Brenda Marshall had me thrown in jail.
Well, Bob, you stole a lawnmower, and you stole the tires, and you borrowed the sugar.
Well, every neighbor does that.
Yeah, but Bob, when you cut pieces out of an awning to make cuffs for your pants, that was too much. Say, what'd you do with the rest of the awning?
Sold it to Crosby.
What would Crosby want with a green and white awning?
Well, if he can get it to light up, he's going to wear it for a shirt. He wants to wear it under his loud sports coat, the one that plays records. Yeah. I wish I could get out of here.
Well, don't worry, Bob. I'll get you out of jail. I'm a good lawyer. I'm as smart as Justice Hughes, Clarence Darrow, Justice Black, and Barney Dean.
Barney Dean? Who's Barney Dean?
Well, I gotta mention him. He's on my draft board.
Listen, how'd you ever become a lawyer?
Oh, through a correspondence school. I sent my picture to Charles Atlas.
Now, wait a minute. Charles Atlas has a famous bodybuilding correspondence course.
I know. He took one look at my picture, sent back my $5, and said, please, this course is for men only.
You two would have made a great pair, Atlas and Fatless.
Go ahead, kid, if you want to, but I really did take a correspondence course in law.
You took a correspondence course in law, Skin? What did they do, send you the lessons?
No, they didn't have to, Bob. With an envelope and 3-cent stamp, I used to get that personally.
Well, listen, Skin, I want a real lawyer.
Oh, don't worry, Bob. I'll defend you all right. I come from a long line of successful lawyers. My great-grandpappy Innes defended John Brown in South Carolina. What a triumph that was.
But, Skin, how could that be a triumph for your great-grandpappy? John Brown was hung.
I know, but he was a Yankee, wasn't he?
Gosh, I wonder if the public knows I'm in jail.
Yeah, Bob, you ought to see your fans. They're collecting out front.
My fans are collecting out in front, huh?
Yeah, they're trying to get enough money to buy a rope. See, Bob, there must be some way to get you out of here.
Well, I tried to tunnel my way out here. I dug a tunnel when it was about 50 feet long. I met a man in it.
Oh, another convict trying to escape jail.
No, a pedestrian trying to cross Sunset Boulevard.
Bob, you must feel pretty bitter here in jail.
Yeah, I tell you, Skin, this sort of thing turns a man against society. I've been figuring how you and me can pull off a job when I get out of here. We can break into Hetty Lamar's house.
Yeah?
Find out where Hetty is.
Yeah?
And steal all her jewelry.
Boy, are you stir crazy.
Well, I tell you, this jail is driving me nuts. Look at that guy in the next cell.
I can't stand it, I tell you. I can't stand it. Day after day, bread and water. Bread and water. Bread and water. It's driving me mad. Mad. Mad.
Why? What's wrong?
Oh, gee whiz, couldn't I have just a little dash of 7-Up?
Hey, look, the lights are going dim, Bob. The lights are going dim.
That's right, Skin.
You know what that means, don't you, Bob?
Yeah, someone hit 30,000 on the pinball machine. Just think, Brenda Marshall says that last Thursday I broke into her kitchen and took all her sugar. But that's not true, and I've got an alibi to prove it.
You have? Where were you last Thursday?
In a garage, taking a spare tire.
You know, you're accused of breaking windows, breaking fences, tearing up lawns, stealing sugar, cutting down awnings. Bob, how can you do so many terrible things?
Well, I get up early in the morning. See, Skin, you got to get me out of here. I'm going to call the warden and complain. I'll get them like they do in all the prison pictures.
Hey, Bob, you're supposed to rattle your tin cup against the cell bars, not your head.
Skin, I guess you think I'm nuts. Well, if you think I'm bad off, you should get a load of the guy in the next cell. He's a hopeless case.
Left, right. Left, right.
There he goes again.
Left, right. Left, right. Yeah! Left, right. Left. Ah!
Gee, what happened to him?
He got caught behind a woman driver. Say, Skinny, I gotta get out of this jail. Listen, you're really thin, aren't you? Come here a minute.
Hey, what you gonna do with me, Bob?
Never mind, just hold still.
Doggone, Bob, you get my head all dirty. Use somebody else to pick the lock with.
Let me out. I'll never, never, never do it again.
What's that, Bob?
The guy that wrote Rose O'Day.
Hey, come on, Bob. Time for us to start going to court. Here comes the guard to open the door.
Yeah, I wonder if Brenda's in court. I wonder if she's talking about me. I wonder if she feels sorry.
Gee, Francis, I'm glad you could come to court with me. I'm going to keep that Bob Hope in jail just as long as I live.
I own a radio, too.
Gee, Brenda, Bob must be ripping mad at you for bringing him to trial, even though you are neighbors.
Oh, yes, he's mad all right. I found that out last week.
What happened?
He put blackout curtains over his telescope. Because of him, a lot of people are moving out of North Hollywood.
I thought it was because of the weather.
Well, it is. They don't mind the rainy season so much, but they can't stand that constant drip.
Say, why are you bringing Bob to court anyhow?
Well, I found out he was stealing gas, electricity, and water from me.
Really? How'd you find out?
Well, after 3 or 4 years, I began to think it was odd. Every time I put my lights out, his went out too.
I guess Bob is an awful neighbor.
Terrible. Outside his house, the public address system keeps saying, "See my favorite blonde. See my favorite blonde. See my favorite blonde." And you know what's happening inside?
No.
He's dipping his head into peroxide. And I can't keep him out of my place. I even put up a high barbed wire fence, but it was no use.
How did he get over it?
He didn't get over it. He just played follow the leader with a family of gophers. And boy, is he a ham.
Yeah, he's such a ham. You know those pigskin gloves of his?
Yes.
Well, sister, they ain't gloves. Here he comes into the courtroom now.
Say, who's that little guy with him?
That's Skinny Innes.
What's holding him up?
He puts a lot of starch in his underwear.
Gee, that Hope certainly looks like a criminal. I think he's carrying a gun. What's that bulge over his hip?
His hip.
See, I think the little one is going to be the big one's lawyer.
How do you like that? The big one's crying.
Mutt?
Well, the little one just went under for the third time.
Oh, isn't that cute? Now the little guy's blowing bubble gum. Now the big guy is scraping the little guy off the ceiling. Say, what's Bob doing now?
He's trying to win the case on his personality. He's showing his teeth to the jury.
What's the jury doing?
They're passing them around as Exhibit A. Here come the boys now.
Hey, Skinny. Did you bribe the jury like I told you?
Yeah, but I don't think it'll work.
Why not?
Well, after all, Bob, two broadcast tickets apiece.
You don't think it'll work, huh? Say, Brenda, how about dropping those charges against me?
Never, Bob, never. You've made me suffer the agonies of the doomed, and you too must suffer. Every breath in my body cries out against compromise. Every drop of my blood would shrink from conciliation. Never, never, never.
But, Brenda, all I did was steal an awning.
I know, but Warner Brothers told me to show off here tonight.
Well, never mind. Come on, Skinny. Let's sit down here. I wonder where the judge is.
He's with you in a minute, Hope. I'm here in my private chambers talking to a jewel thief. Now, Lefty, you'll have to work pretty fast. Tomorrow's my girlfriend's birthday.
Judge, come in here at once.
Just a minute. I'm in here deciding on a motion. Fell off the runway.
Judge, you come in here at once.
Okay, I'll be right there. I'm coming in with a friend of mine. BB eyes.
Hey. The court is now in session. Everybody on your feet. His Honor, Judge Colonna, the stench of the bench. Judge Colonna is now on the stand.
And now, folks, who buy this genuine gold watch? Oops, wrong stand.
Colonna, start the trial.
Order in the court. Order in the court. Well, at least it's a change from deep in the heart of Texas.
Judge Colonna is now sitting on the bench.
What's the matter, Judge?
Termites tickle. Now, before I start, I must have quiet in the court. Quiet in the court!
Quiet in the court!
Throw that man out.
But, Judge, that was your own echo, your very own echo.
Relative or no relative, throw him out.
Colonna, you read to the judge.
Ah, yes, Judge Colonna, the long arm of justice, enforcer of the laws, upright citizen, also cuffs put on your pants while you wait. Now, what's the first case?
The case of the state of California versus Joe Weebish, charged with driving through a red light.
Guilty. Joe Weebish, I sentence you to be beheaded immediately.
Colonna, you can't have a man's head cut off for getting a traffic ticket.
I can't?
No.
Better roll these out the back door. Put a curve on that one.
Next case.
The case of Brenda Marshall versus Bob Hope.
Guilty.
But, Judge, you haven't even heard my testimony.
I know, but I can't hang around here all night. I'm working on the swing shift at Lockheed. But still, if you insist on a trial...
Hey, listen. I'm Hope's lawyer. Let's get this trial started.
Okay, will the court please come to order? All right, gentlemen of the jury, you may be seated. Got to remember to put chairs there. Well, let's get on to the case. Prisoner Hope, rise and look at the jury.
Yes, sir.
And now will the jury get up and look at Prisoner Hope? All those with weak stomachs, they keep their eyes shut. Now, Hope, before you say anything, let me warn you that I can condemn you to a horrible fate.
Gee, that's awful. How do you torture a man? Solitary confinement?
Worse than that, I give him copies of Esquire to read with and all the pictures cut out. And remember... yes. And remember, Hope, I can condemn you to death here. And in California, we don't use the electric chair hanging. We use the lethal chamber.
Yes?
Wait till I change my page. We use the lethal chamber.
Yes?
Yes, check my oil, too.
Hey, Judge. Judge, let's get over the trial.
Okay, now tell me, Hope, what have you to say?
Nothing, Your Honor, except that I hope you'd be treating me right. After all, we all know that justice is blind.
For what? Once in a while, I like to get a little cockeyed myself.
All right, now, what about my trial?
I now pronounce you to hang by your neck until you are dead.
Your Honor, that's not justice.
I know, but it's not bad yo-yo.
Judge Colonna, is my defendant going to get a fair trial?
Why do you ask?
Well, if he is, we may as well give up right now.
Well, let's hear the first witness. What do you know about Bob Hope?
Oh, he's a terrible man. All this week, he kept trying to catch me and pick me up by my ears. He don't give me any peace or privacy. He's always trying to pick me up by my ears. He's horrible.
Well, why don't you try and punch him in the nose?
How can I? I'm only a rabbit.
I'll tell you, you've got plenty of guts. I admire you, Larry. You're my man, brother. Any man can stand right out in the open like that and read that. I'm for you, Larry. Anything you need. If you ever need anything, see my manager. Where are we? Now, Colonna, get on with my case.
Just a minute, Hope. There seems to be something brewing in another case I've got here. Quite a head on it, hasn't it?
Colonna, I don't believe you're a real judge.
Why, of course I'm a real judge. I've been wearing this long robe for 40 years.
Colonna, listen, 40 years ago, you were 6 months old. Now, why would you wear that long robe when you were 6 months old?
No diaper.
You know, you don't look so good in that long black robe, Colonna. You've got a big pot tummy.
That's not a pot tummy, Hope.
Well, what is that under your black robe, then?
A friend of mine developing film.
I object.
What do you object to?
Nothing, but didn't it sound dramatic?
Kenny, stop stalling. This judge is liable to send me to the chair.
Oh, don't be afraid of that. Well, I once sat in an electric chair.
I know. You sat in the electric chair, and they turned on the current, and a songwriter took one look at you and ran home and wrote Small Fry.
Well, let's get on with this case.
And it's your contempt.
Of course.
Well, that's physique of everybody.
Pardon me while I speak into this little microphone on my desk. Calling all cars, calling all cars. Raid the Burlesque Show. We'll have a party tonight.
Professor, what about trying Brenda Marshall's case against me?
All right, now I'll examine the evidence. So this is the lawnmower that Hope didn't return to Brenda Marshall. I'll just lift this lawnmower up so I can see it better.
Careful, Your Honor. That lawnmower is very fast and very sharp.
Oh, touch, think nothing of it. Nimble Fingers Colonna, that's who I am. Yes, sir. Nimble Fingers Colonna, that's who I am. Yes, sir. Nimble Elbows Colonna, they call me. You Hope, I'm a judge representing the people, and if I want to, I can sentence you to the electric chair.
Colonna, you mean you can sentence me to the electric chair?
Cheer.
Chair.
Cheer.
Chair.
Listen, brother, if I sent you to the chair, everyone would cheer.
Hey, come on, Judge. Continue with the trial.
I must have quiet. I won't continue until the people out, all the people there, they cut out that ho of conversation.
Colonna, you mean that hum of conversation.
Ho.
Hum.
Ho.
Hum.
Ho.
Hum.
This does get boring after a while, doesn't it?
Colonna, what makes you act this way?
Well, I'll confess, Hope, I never told this to anyone before, but you see, I was born in New York, and my mother was in Los Angeles at the time.
Don't be silly, Colonna. Every child is with its mother when it's born. Can you give me one explanation why your mother wasn't with you?
She couldn't stand the sight of me.
Colonna, you flabbergast me.
No, you flabbergast me. You got more flab than I have.
Colonna, get on with the case.
Okay, I'll have to study up the law here. I'll look it up in Gladstone, Blackstone, and Yellowstone.
What's Yellowstone doing in there?
That's where I go on my vacation. Next witness, take the stand. Will Brenda Marshall please step forward?
Brenda Marshall, coming forward.
Yes, Your Honor. Order, quiet, you men. I will not tolerate such behavior in my court. Forgive them, Miss Marshall, and tell me, who are you? Think we ought to hold this in my private chambers?
We continue our broadcast of the Bob Hope trial, folks. Brenda Marshall now takes the stand. She sits down and crosses her legs. They revive the jury.
Now, Brenda, how about a kiss, kids?
Certainly not.
Did I say objection overruled?
Oh, Judgy, I think you're wonderful, and I'm going to give you another great big kiss.
All right, Brenda, that's enough. Why don't you stop kissing him?
I can't. He tied his mustache behind my head.
I knew it was good for something besides washing my ears.
Lola, continue with the witness.
All right, but first I want to take a drink of water. W.C. Fields has been breathing into the reservoir again. Well, Miss Marshall, what have you got to say about this case?
Oh, Judgy Wudgy, this man Hope is a nasty man. And you're so cute.
I'm sorry, I can't understand a word you say. You'll have to raise your voice. Miss Marshall, I said, your voice.
I think you're prejudiced in favor of Miss Marshall.
Oh, no, Hope.
Well, what are the odds of my winning this case?
I don't know. How do your legs look in silk stockings?
Judge, don't pay any attention to him. Let me run my fingers through your mustache.
Oh, no.
Why not?
Disturb the mice. Now, Miss Marshall, do your bubble dance for the court.
But, Colonna, she isn't a bubble dancer.
Shh. I thought I could surprise her into it.
I'll never get anywhere with this, Judge Skinny. I'll try to act nice to Brenda. Say, Brenda, how about putting your head on my shoulder? You know, I could go for you.
Yeah, what about Madeline Carroll?
Well, of course, I like Madeline, but I've always been partial to Marshall.
And I've always said, no soap to Hope.
Yeah. Order in the court. Now we have a surprise witness. Step on the stand, Mr. Surprise Witness, and tell your story. See? Wasn't that a surprise?
Hey, all the proceedings. You'll have to let the prisoner go. I've got a writ of habeas corpus.
You got a rat of habeas corpus.
Rip.
Rat.
Rip.
Rat.
Rip.
Listen, Ennis, if it's Hope you're trying to get out of here, you've got a writ for a rat.
I'll prove he's innocent. I'll call the defendant, Bob Hope, as the next witness.
Okay, will the defendant face me and raise his right hand? And now will the defendant kindly take it away from his nose?
Okay, now, Skin, do your stuff. Gentlemen of the jury, take a look at Bob Hope. Does he look like he'd steal an awning? Just look at him. Does he look like a petty thief? Well, I'll take it to a higher court.
Don't worry, Skid. Judge Colonna won't convict me. He never convicts anybody.
Oh, no. I just set up a kangaroo for kidnapping.
You set up a kangaroo for kidnapping?
Yes, a tough customer, too. Took us 10 minutes to get him to unpouch Bobby Breed.
Well, anyway, I'm innocent, and it's my turn to tell my story now.
Fine. Everything is fair and square here. I want to warn you that every member of the jury is from Smolensk, and I won't try to prejudice them against you. So take the stand. Herr von Hope. I look at your record. January 15th, grabbed and kissed a redhead. January 19th, kissed a blonde on the street. January 20th, yelled yoo-hoo at all the girls on Hollywood Boulevard. Oops.
What's the matter, Clona?
This is my record. Get on with the case, Hope. You are charged with arson.
Arson? But I didn't burn anything, Colonna.
Oh, is that what that means? Now, tell me, Hope, where were you on the night of December 5th?
Home in bed.
December 6th?
Home in bed.
7th?
Home in bed.
Lead a dull life, don't you?
Listen, Judge Colonna, I want a fair trial. After all, I pay my taxes.
What?
I said I pay my taxes.
I knew I'd been forgetting something the last 20 years. All right, Hope, I will now let the jury consider your case.
Colonna, how long do you think the jury will be out?
I don't know, Hope. It depends on how much they had to drink.
Then never mind them. I want you to make the decision on my innocence.
Well, this case has me stumped. Who in this court thinks Bob Hope should be found guilty?
I do. And I got a kiss for you.
Who thinks I should find Bob Hope not guilty?
I do, and I got $1,000 for you.
A kiss.
$1,000.
A kiss.
$1,000.
Tune in next week and find out just how I went crooked.
Listen, Colonna, it's not up to you anyway. The jury has to decide on this case.
You're right, Hope. Well, gentlemen of the jury, have you reached the decision?
Yes, sir. Here it is.
Say, Hope, while I read this verdict, I think I'll have the jury sing Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Why Chattanooga Choo Choo?
Kid, you're being railroaded.
I protest. This whole trial is a fraud.
Why, if you know, I'd fine you for contempt of court if I didn't have a little contempt for it myself.
Well, listen, Colonna, I'm not going to accept that jury's decision. I don't think I had a fair trial.
Well, I've got a way to settle this case, Hope. I have here a marvelous lie detector machine. I'll attach it to you. Then if you're not guilty, it'll set you free. And if you are guilty, it'll shoot you. What do you say?
I don't like the odds.
Oh, now, there's nothing to be afraid of. Now, I'll attach the machine to you. Then I'll ask you a question. If you tell a lie, the machine will shoot you.
The machine will shoot me?
Yes. And don't forget, this machine is very accurate. Very complicated, very sensitive, and...
Oh!
Overanxious.
All signs. You folks who dial our spot and keep our Tuesday hot, without your radar joke parade would kind of go to pot. I think we're in the pot. All thanks for the memory. If in this troubled time some laughter we can prime and do our work, those Japs berserk soon won't be worth a dime. And thank you so much. Folks, let's join in participation and help save our homes and the nation. Keep Miss Liberty fast at her station. We're out to win, so let's pitch in next week. We'll be back in the air at the same time, broadcasting from the West Coast Air Corps Training Center at Santa Ana. Santa Ana. With us as a special guest will be Rita Hayworth and, of course, all the regular gang. Thank you, Brenda Marshall, for your grand performance. Good night, everybody.
Good night.